to ask you guys if you know, y'all know the song Sanctuary. We used to sing it often. If you don't, look at hymn 588. We're just going to sing that as our prayer. Just about, you know, you don't have to stand up or anything. But if you don't know it, it's 588. And let's bow our heads and sing that. You, if you're looking at it, you can obviously keep your eyes open. But let's just sing that as our prayer. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And Lord, we want our bodies, our hearts, our souls, our minds, all to be a sanctuary and a place for your Holy Spirit to dwell and teach us and use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys may have noticed, particularly you kids that take notes, that there were no notes sheets, and that's because I changed my sermon at the last, about an hour ago, okay? So, don't worry, I'll still give you a star, but I didn't have time to make note sheets, so you're just going to have to pay attention. If you want to make notes, that's great. Some kids do it without the note sheets and take better notes anyway. But I wanted to talk about this morning about being obedient. Being obedient, it took me a long time to figure out that that was a good thing. You know, I found out when I was younger that I would get along with my parents better when I was obedient. Now, I wasn't always obedient, but I found out that when I was, I got along with them better. Then later, I came over to French camp, and I was in the dorm there, and I found out after about a year and a half that things would go better for me there in that dorm with Mr. Hugh Long and some of those guys if I was obedient. And then I finished French camp and I started work, and I had a boss that just was a reprobate. I can't say describe him any other way. He just was an ungodly man with an ungodly mouth and a really bad drinking problem, and he blamed me for stuff I didn't do. It was just awful. But I found that if I was obedient, even to this guy, things were better. I learned some things because in spite of all of that, he did know his trade, and he did and was willing to teach me. And then I went to college, and every step of the way, I learned more and more that if I was obedient to the people in authority over me, things went better. Now, there were times when I had to be disobedient because they would want me to do something against my God or against my morals or something like that. And at that point, I would just say, no, you know, I can't do that because of Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I can't do that. And most of the time when I did that, they would respect that. Sometimes they did, but it didn't matter. But the point is, things went better when I was obedient. And I've also learned this. The Spirit of God lives in me as a Christian. And if you are a Christian, if you have come to the point in your life when you've asked Jesus into your heart and you've turned from your sins and turned to Him and believed in Him and had faith in Him and called upon Him and He's come to indwell you and that Holy Spirit is living within you and you have the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is using daily in your life to teach you, things are better for everyone involved if you're obedient. It's just a life lesson. And for Christians, we need to be obedient to the Spirit because every day we are confronted with the decision to either obey or disobey the Spirit of God. And there are always consequences when we disobey the Holy Spirit. And we want to look at some ways that we as Christians disobey the Holy Spirit. The first way is what the Bible calls resisting the Holy Spirit. Sometimes what the Holy Spirit has to say to us is difficult.
It was just like when I was a kid, sometimes what my mom or my dad said to me was difficult, and I didn't want to hear it. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Or sometimes they would want me to do something that was hard to do, and it was difficult. And the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, and he's going to cut out the things that are that will make you spiritually sick. And the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, and he challenges your pride. And the Holy Spirit confronts you with your wrong feelings toward other people. You know, even when somebody has treated you wrong as a Christian and you start feeling in a judgmental and wrong way toward them, the Holy Spirit will convict you and you say, well, I've got a right to be that way. They've treated me wrong. Well, they may have, but you do not have any rights anymore, because when you became a Christian, you gave those rights to King Jesus. The Holy Spirit will often give you directions you really may not like. But in Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says that there is a way that seems right unto a man. In other words, sometimes you've thought about things and you think about things and you get your little notebook and you make little notes and you write a little one column the things that are good about this thing, and you write in one column things that are bad about this thing, or you go to somebody wise and you talk to them and they tell you what they think and all of that. And in spite of everything, the end of it could end up disastrous. That's what this verse finishes with. It says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are ways of death. In other words, sometimes what seems to be the right thing to do to you and according to the world will end in your death. You know, I've talked to people from time to time that would take a job that really, because it paid well, they wanted to take that job. But in reality, that job had so many things that was going to draw them away from God. It was going to draw them away from their family. That was going to put them into temptation situations where they did not need to be at their level of spiritual development. And it seemed so right, but in the end, it led to destruction. And you know, you may even come to the point, and this happens very often, where you come to the point where it looks so good that you disobey the Word of God, where it clearly says to do something or not to do something. You disobey it because it looks so good. That decision looks so good. I've talked to young people, you know, and oh, man, they are in love. Man, they are just so much in love, and everything looks so good. But the end of it all is destruction. You know, resisting the Spirit is hard at first as a Christian, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. You know, there's a thing called resistance training, and that is where it's a form of weightlifting, where you lift and you begin to resist and you pull against some force and you begin to do it. And as you do it, it becomes easier to do. Why is that? Because you are developing muscles based on that resistance. So you will add more to it. And you'll just keep doing that. But the more you add, if you keep at it, the easier it will become. And let's say you get a word from the Holy Spirit saying, oh, you really don't need to be doing this. And you resist that word. And you come under conviction of the Holy Spirit. But you resist that conviction. It becomes easier and easier and easier till you no longer are under conviction and you're no longer sensitive to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit uses most of the time to convict you. You come to church and you hear the preacher preach and you hear the word of God and you get under conviction and you say, well, I can't do that. I can't give up this sin. I can't do this thing that I'm supposed to do. So you don't. Well, the next time you come, it's easier. Something else, and it's easier and easier till very soon you're not even under conviction anymore. The word of God, you don't even understand it anymore. You don't get anything out of it anymore. So, resisting this Holy Spirit for a Christian is extremely dangerous. And another way that we can be disobedient to the Holy Spirit is grieving the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30 it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Knowing what God wants you to do and being unwilling to do it grieves the Holy Spirit. And now resisting the Holy Spirit is disobeying the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit is the result of disobeying the Holy Spirit. You know, you resist the Holy Spirit and sin becomes okay. And that's a big sign. If you are in a sinful situation of any kind, and you know that it's sin, and you no longer feel like it's wrong, that's a good sign. In fact, it's a positive sign that you have grieved the Holy Spirit. You say things like this, and I hear this all the time. Nobody's perfect. You ever hear that? Somebody, always, you know, you say something or you may have said it yourself. Well, nobody's perfect. You know, what's that old song Dottie Rambo wrote that's so ungodly? I'm only human. I'm just, if you're a woman, you're a woman, or if you're a man, a man. Well, yeah, you are, but that's not an excuse to sin. You know, if you come under conviction of sin and you don't think, and you know it's a sin based on the Word of God, and you just say, well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I'm only human. I'm not perfect. And that's true, you're not. But, you know, if the sin is, if you continue in the sin, that is an absolute betrayal of someone who loves you deeply and who gave his life for you. You say, oh, I can just keep on in that sin. It's okay. You are betraying the man, the God, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you to pay for that sin. And it hurts him. It grieves him. And we need to be heartbroken for our sin, because it's not just a matter of, oh, I broke the rules. It is a matter of betraying Jesus and hurting Jesus. In Luke 19, Jesus is praying and he's there and he's looking up at Jerusalem. Jerusalem's on this hill and he's very upset. He's very upset. And it says in verse 41, "And when he had come near, he beheld the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over it." He cried over it. Why in the world would Jesus be crying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the people there are getting ready to crucify him"? And he knew that. Why was he crying? He said this, "If you had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Why? Because of your sin. The more you sin, the more things are hidden from your eyes. Even as a Christian, you get to where the Word of God means nothing to you. You don't understand it at all, because you have to have the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. And so all of a sudden, you grieve the Holy Spirit to the extent that you know, he's not working that way. He's not gone, but he's hurting so bad. "For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench around you." They're going to besiege you. encompass thee around and keep you in on every side and shall lay thee even in the ground. Your children with thee. Everyone in that city would be killed. And they will not leave one stone upon another because you knew of me and you knew who I was and you resisted me and turned me away. The only thing left in Jerusalem after the Romans finished with it 30 years after Jesus was crucified was one wall of the temple. And it's still there. You can still go. It's called the Wailing Wall. Why do you think they call it the Wailing Wall? Because they go there and they cry. But God started crying through Jesus. And every time we sin and just make it into a joke and ignore it and say, I'm only human, I'm only human, I'm only human. Yes, you are, but you're not. If you're a Christian, you're more than human. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you grow. Yeah, you sin, but you grow from that sin. And if you don't, you will be guilty of quenching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. Now, quench means literally to put an end to stop it, to drown it out, to put out, to cool it suddenly. The Holy Spirit's always going to be there in your life, but His freedom to work and to speak can be limited by the conditions of our hearts. Because you know why? What they call Him? You know what His first name is? Holy. Holy Spirit. And that's pretty important. Names in the Bible always mean something. Holy Spirit. And He works best in a holy life. And if we allow sin to fill our lives, then the Holy Spirit is quenched. And when you're not hearing from God, you need to think about that and examine your heart to see perhaps if you have quenched the Holy Spirit of God. Well, there's one other thing. And if you're a Christian, you probably, this isn't anything you really have to worry about, but if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, there is a thing in the Bible called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 12:32, it says, whoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Now what this is when the Holy Spirit starts convicting you of your sin and starts trying to draw you to salvation. And you know you are lost. You know you have sinned. And you know that you need Jesus. And you know what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. But you say, no. That means nothing to me. I don't care. I want to live my life the way I want to live my life. I don't care about Jesus. I don't care about the Holy Spirit. I don't care about the Word of God and what it says. I don't care about anything but me and what I want to do and what I think is best and what I want. Me, 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 me. And you're quenching the Spirit of God that's trying to draw you to salvation. And if you keep doing that, and eventually, that what happens is it comes to a point of blasphemy and the Holy Spirit just says, okay. Okay. That's it. I've talked to people, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you are here and you're under conviction, you haven't come to the point of blasphemy the Holy Spirit. But I have talked to people, men and women, who literally, you know, just laughed in my face. And, you know, they have sin in their life. And they don't care. They just laugh in my face. And I think literally they have come to that point. I think they have come to the point where they were no longer under conviction. They don't care. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about anything but themselves. And that's what they'll have for eternity. Because when you get to hell, that's what you'll have, you. You say, well, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. No, you won't. You're by yourself. You're going to have you. But that's what you wanted. You want you. It's all about me, me, me. If you are saved, as I said, it's impossible to do this, but there are four ways, as we've seen, or three ways for the Christian to disobey the Holy Spirit, to resist Him, to grieve Him, to quench Him. And of course, there, if you're here and you're under conviction of the Spirit and you know you need Jesus, who came and Jesus died on the cross for you. And He did it because He loves you. All your sin and all that doesn't matter to Him. He loves you just as you are. You can come just as you are. He loves you just as you are. But you must be willing to turn from your sins, admit your sins, and repent. You must be willing to believe on Him, bow before Him, and call upon Him to save you. And if you do that, He will save you. And at that point, the Holy Spirit will enter your life, and He will begin to teach you. And it won't always be the most wonderful, pleasant thing in the world, but it'll always be good. Sometimes good things that happen to you are hard things, but that's good. You won't grow if you don't ever go through tough times. But you must come to Jesus. If you're under conviction this morning and that you need to be saved, then don't worry about that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not an issue with you. You can come freely and ask Jesus to save you, and He'll do it. The Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can come and be saved. But if you are here and you know you're not saved, and you're just throwing off the Holy Spirit and just saying, I don't care, be very careful. You need to come to Jesus. Now, Christians, and like I said, I didn't want to preach this sermon. I had another one that I really liked, and I worked hard on this week, and I really wanted to preach that sermon. And about an hour before Sunday school, the Lord just brought me to this one. And if you knew my filing system, it is so hard for me to find anything. I'll just be honest with you. If you know me, go look at my desk. But I went right through to it, and I had preached this before down at my last church down in Philadelphia. I don't know why I'm preaching this sermon, but I know that there's a reason. I don't know if there's someone here that's lost that needs to come to Jesus. I don't know if there's a Christian here that may be in the middle of all of these things. But if you have been hurting Jesus by disobeying the Holy Spirit, there's only one way to stop it. There's only one way to stop it. Stop your sin and repent. Repent means turn from it and stop doing it. So whatever the Holy Spirit may be leading any of us to do, my prayer is that you'll obey Him this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that You have given us that, and You have given us Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that if we are struggling here, if there's someone here struggling in any of these things we've talked about today, I pray that this morning that they will get that straight. Perhaps they need Jesus. Perhaps they're already a Christian, but they have just you've got some kind of sin problem. They're just continuing and just throwing off Your Holy Spirit conviction and just going on with it and making excuses. And Lord, just help us. Help us to stop grieving You, Lord. I don't want to do that, Lord. I know no one in here that believes in You does, so help us, Lord. We turn this time of invitation over to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed. In our church, when we have the invitation, we just have Amy to play.